Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
On today's show, we've got Jesse Agler, who not too long ago was trying to get rid of his co-host Bill Center.
We can send you to a farm up in North County and pick flowers.
But as it turns out, it's Jesse who will be going on the road with the team for the next 10 days. Don't worry, though, Jesse. Bill will keep an eye out for you.
We should have a milk carton out here with his picture on today.
Wow.
Today, the Padres wrap up the homestand with a game against the Rockies. And now, from the AMR studio, it's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Jesse Agler and Bill Center.
Welcome to Padres Social Hour, live from Petco Park. Beautiful Sunday downtown San Diego. Kids Fest starting to get going at the park at the park. Military Sunday. This is going to be a fun one today as the Padres go for their first sweep of the season. Do you have your broom, Bill?
I do.
Where is it?
It's
over there.
It's not here, but I got a broom.
Oh, you have a broom. You own a broom.
Right.
That's not what I was asking.
Right.
I think most of us own a broom.
After I said that, I realized what you were asking.
Right. I meant, did you bring your broom to the ballpark today?
That's tacky.
You're right. It might look a little odd in the press box.
Yes.
You've got that front and center seat. You've got the best seat in the box, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if people realize that. Bill.
Plus, I've got a great seat because a foul ball, I can always dive behind that glass partition.
Well, you had to do that a couple of weeks ago.
Yes. So
there's a dent. This is a real
thing.
There's
a reason why I picked that seat.
There is a hole in the wall right behind where Bill Center sits.
Right.
And luckily, you've got those cat-like reflexes. What was it, one of the Dodger games or one of the Giant games?
Giant game.
Yeah. And you can see the hole, and Bill retrieved the baseball, and thankfully, everything was all right. Everything was all right. And you gave the ball to a kid.
Found a kid.
It was a Giants fan. Now
right.
I remember. You gave the ball to a Giants fan.
Right. But he was a kid. He was the only kid around there right now. Right there. So.
Yeah. No, you're right. He's the only kid in the entire ballpark.
Right. No,
one kid in a Giants hat.
Right in the area.
No. You talk about hating the Giants, and now you're giving balls away to San Francisco fans. I understand. Maybe you're not as tough as you say you are.
He came up afterwards and said, "Thank you very much, sir."
So. And then he took off his Giant hat, he threw it down on the ground, and he put on a Padre hat.
Yeah.
That's the story we're going to tell.
That's what we're going to go with.
Yeah.
Sort of like Caesar, if we can get Caesar to come around.
Hey, Caesar's coming around.
Right.
The guy, his girlfriend's a Padre fan. He's a Giant fan. He's coming around.
I think he's got just about, through the season, I think he's got to make a decision, either come to the Padres or she goes somewhere else.
Yeah, no, she's got to make a decision,
right, she's
basically.
She's got to make a decision.
Yeah. All right, hey, last night a 4-2 win for the San Diego Padres. So we got a lot to talk about from that victory over the Colorado Rockies. Also coming up next segment, as everybody has probably noticed, the ball is flying out of this place in 2015. And there are a lot of theories as to why. Some of those theories have to do with atmospheric conditions, sort of the different weather patterns that may be occurring this year as compared to years past. So we're going to try and get some scientific answers. Craig Herrera from News 10, a meteorologist, is going to join us next segment. And we're going to talk to Craig about what's happening with the weather here in San Diego, how it may or may not be impacting what's taking place as far as the ball carrying.
I'm looking forward to that. I got some questions.
Me too. We're going to go full Mr. Science on him.
Right.
And he's gonna answer all of our questions to the best of his abilities. I'm not suggesting we'll get definitive evidence as to one thing or the other, but he can shine some educated light on it, as opposed to doofballs like you and I just sitting here and being like, well, it's hot, so the ball carries more. He'll tell us if that's a thing. You're looking forward to it.
I am
too. So he'll join us coming up. Also,
we'll put him on the Cholula hot seat.
We're actually going to call him on the Cholula hotline.
Okay. Oh, we
are. Same concept, though.
All right.
Same concept, though. Hey, so we got that going on. We'll have Twitter questions and comments. People can hop in using the hashtag PadresSH on their Twitter machines. That's the hashtag to ask a question, make a comment, an observation, what have you. On Twitter, just use the hashtag PadresSH. You can also hang out with Becky in the live chat at Padres.com/social hour. All right, that's the way this whole thing sets up, Bill. 4-2, not quite 14-3, but another nice win over the Colorado Rockies and another divisional victory.
I thought last night was more significant than 14-3 because
do tell.
You had to play a complete game last night. You weren't just going to beat them with your bats. You had to play some defense. You had to have good pitching. The bullpen had to come through. I thought last night was a far more significant win than Friday night.
It felt good. It also ensured a series victory, which has, I think, obviously a great deal of significance, sort of after what happened against the Dodgers and the Astros previously on this homestand.
Right. You gotta own your home.
Own your home. I like that.
Right.
We can make a T-shirt out of that.
Maybe
with a hashtag? Hashtag own your home?
Or Own your home, hashtag Padres SH.
There you go. Mind is blown. That's great. Will Myers, two more walks. He likes batting against the Rockies as far as drawing base on balls.
Will Myers is very – I mean, in his first 102 plate appearances, he had drawn two walks. Now he's drawn four in the last two games. And afterwards, last night after the game, he admitted, hey, I like swinging the bat more than walking. But now they're throwing him off the plate. They're trying to get him to bite at bad pitches. And he has settled in and said, if you do that, I'm going to take the walk.
That's what's really nice. You know, he said a lot of these, I think, have come on 3-1 the last couple of days. And he's like, I'm not going to extend myself. I mean, that's obviously the whole point of an at-bat. You're not supposed to swing at balls outside of the strike zone. But he's obviously locked in enough that he's able to really see the ball well and recognize these pitches that are coming in.
Now, Will Myers, traditionally, historically, is short. Thing in the major leagues has been a first pitch hunter.
Yes.
He has one of the lowest pitch count ratios in the major leagues. He likes to go up there. If he likes the first pitch, he's hitting. He's got that mentality. He's hitting. Well, pitchers now are throwing that first pitch out of the strike zone. He's starting to take it. Not only did he have the four walks a couple nights ago, he had an extended 10 pitch at bat,
yeah,
which is showing that he's changed his game a little bit. And that's it. You've got to adjust in this game. That's one of the things right now Jed Jerko is struggling with, that pitchers have adjusted to him. He's got to adjust back. Will Myers is making that adjustment.
I'm going to talk about Jed Jerko in a moment, but to sort of put a bow on Myers, so the two more walks, two more runs scored, another RBI. He's having a really, really good run right now, and he has now scored multiple runs in four straight games. That ties the franchise record. So if Will Myers scores more than once today, he will set a new Padre record for most consecutive games scoring more than once. That's a nice record. It's a little bit, you know, nitty gritty maybe, you know, scoring more than once. But again, as a guy that is batting leadoff, you like the idea of him being on base with the Kemps and the Uptons coming up. And of course, look, this tying of the record has as much to do with the guys behind him in the batting order as it does with him. He's got to get on base. That's on him. But in order to come around and score, he's going to get some help, and he has.
Right. But I like the idea that your leadoff hitter is going to get on base no matter how. Hits, walks. And yesterday, two leadoff walks, scored on both of those.
Yeah, Kemp drove him in the first inning. That was, the 24th first inning run of the season for the Padres. It's fun watching them sort of get on the board in the first frame almost every night, it seems like.
162 games last year, they scored a total of 62 runs in the first inning. And they were like the major
62.
League worst. Right, 62.
They've already got 24.
Right, and they were the major league worst in that category last year.
Wow. Big change.
Big change.
A lot of things are different than this time last year, huh?
Yeah, a lot of things.
What a difference 7 months can make. Kemp driving him in. Upton has a two-run single in the fifth inning as well. You mentioned Jed Jerko a couple of moments ago. A couple of really nice swings, I thought, last night, including one that resulted in a double. And look, obviously, when a guy is struggling, you know, I'm not going to sit here and try and sell you on, oh, he had a bunch of good swings. But it was really nice that first at bat, hard hit ball to right field. Nice catch by Carlos Gonzalez, a running catch. Next time up for Jed Jerko, again, hits the ball really well to right. That one gets in. It's a two-base hit. I think if Jed Jerko gets going now, we'll look back at last night and say, yeah, you could kind of see it coming a little bit. And that's what we're all hoping for.
And, of course, that was against a left-handed pitcher, and right now he is hitting very well against left-handed pitchers. It's against right-handers that he's been struggling.
And that's why it's a little bit of a platoon-type situation right now with him. And so
I think it's definitely a platoon right now.
You're just going to come out and say it.
Right.
Definitely a platoon.
For this moment, I'm not saying it's going to be a platoon all year.
You're not predicting what will be happening in August.
Right. But for right now, it is definitely a platoon.
All right. No, I mean, that's...
Jed will not be hitting against right-handed pitcher starters right now.
All right, so there is a right-handed starter on the mound today for Colorado, Kyle Kendrick. That was not always scheduled to be the case.
No.
Talk about how quickly things can change. Tyler Matzik, the young left-hander for the Rockies, last September threw a three-hitter against the Padres at Coors Field, a three-hit shutout at Coors, mile high, three-hit shutout. And this year, just a few months later, that was at the end of last season, Walt Weiss has changed around his pitching rotation in order that Matzik does not face the Padres this weekend.
Because the Padres lead the major leagues in hitting against left-handed pitchers right now.
Pretty crazy, huh?
Right.
That a guy that threw a three-hitter, the best game he's ever thrown in his big league career, short career, against the same team, they're like, no. Let's switch that up a little bit.
Right. And it's a smart move on the Rockies' part. Because the Padres right now are raking against left-handed hit pitching.
Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about the pitching for the Padres last night. And we start with Brandon Morrow, Can I give him a nickname?
Go ahead.
Mr. Solid. It's a bad nickname, but he's just solid, man. He's like a rock. How about The Rock?
Right.
Brandon Morrow, The Rock. I mean, he just, it's like, what, six innings every time?
Right. You know what Morrow is this year is what Ian Kennedy was last year.
Okay.
And if that, and Ian comes around, I'm my guess is that after what we saw Friday night, he's on a path back. But Morrow right now is he's going to make you competitive in every game he goes out in.
Six innings, two runs, seven hits, a walk, four strikeouts, 100 pitches, and he's pitched at least six innings in all five of his starts
right.
so far this year. I find great significance in that last one
right.
Because it's, A, helping out the bullpen, but, B, it's showing that he's in control of this game, you know, for quite a while. He's not getting burned by a big long inning or anything like that.
And both he and Bud last night said Morrow did not have his best stuff. He didn't feel real sharp in the bullpen. Said when he came out there he didn't feel real sharp. But he found a way to get through. And that's a sign of a professional pitcher.
That's what you want
right.
out of that guy.
Okay, he doesn't have his best stuff. He's just not going to bail out. He's going to go out there and he's going to find a way to make it work and he's going to battle.
He's not going to let it get to him. Right. He's not going to fall apart out there. He's not going to crumble because he is solid like a rock.
Right.
A rock cannot crumble unless you hit it with a sledgehammer.
So maybe we call him Rock.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
All right. He was not the only Brandon who was impressive last night. How about our firehouse sub of the game? This one, very easy.
Ooh.
Brandon Mauer coming out of the bullpen last night. Two perfect innings. He required just 23 pitches. He is our firehouse sub of the game.
And that's huge. That originally he was just scheduled to go out and pitch the seventh. But Joaquin Benoit was not available because he's got the what they call the dead arm. Mauer, they asked Mauer to go back out in the eighth, and he was lights out. I thought he was one of the stars of the game last night.
He absolutely was not only a star of the game, but the firehouse sub of the game. Two perfect innings for Brandon Mauer. And he, as I said, is the Firehouse sub of the game. Make sure to check out the new edition of Firehouse Subs at Petco Park or visit any of their San Diego locations in Point Loma, Escondido, or Encinitas. Yummy, yummy. That was outstanding
right.
to see last night.
I give you high marks in that one because it's just so easy to look at Craig Kimbrell and say, hey, two strikeouts, seven save.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
You know what? I'm going to give credit to Blooper. I came down here this morning and Blooper says, hey, Brandon Mauer, Firehouse sub of the game.
Nice job, Blooper.
Yeah, he gets one right. He gets
Thank
one
you.
Right. Ding. He got one. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about how the weather in San Diego may or may not be impacting the way the ball has been flying out of this yard so far this season. Craig Herrera from News 10, the meteorologist, will join us next. The all-new patio in left field brings a menu of unique, locally sourced, and sophisticated fare to Padre fans. Change things up a bit and make the patio your next food destination at Petco Park. So many yummy places to go. The patio out in left field here at Petco. We'll take a break, come back. Craig Herrera, News 10, going to talk about baseball weather right after this.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padre Social Hour.
Welcome back, Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines with Bill Center. I'm Jesse Agler. If you've paid any attention to the Padres so far this season, you know the home runs, the dingers, they're flying out of the yard here at Petco Park. There was one game in particular against the Dodgers last weekend where the ball was really, really flying, and this has led to all sorts of questions. Has the warmer April in San Diego contributed to the flight of the ball? Has the new video board in left field, maybe one of those new towers being built downtown, has that affected the wind patterns maybe so that all of a sudden Petco Park is playing a little bit differently? I am not a scientist. I don't have these answers, but we do have a meteorologist from News 10. Craig Herrera joins us. Hey, Craig, really appreciate you calling in. Our friend Ben Higgins said, hey, you got to talk to one of our guys at News 10. They'll get you all the answers, or gals. So, Craig, we appreciate it. How are you this morning?
I'm well, Jesse. Bill, great to talk to you. I'm excited about the Padres this season and glad to be with you guys.
Well, it's our absolute pleasure, and thank you for lending your expertise to us here. Let's start maybe very big picture. How can, if you could explain to us, how weather, whether it's, you know, humidity or temperature or wind, you know, can impact, you know, how far a baseball can travel when it's hit. How does that happen?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. And I think that we all have been talking about how warm it's been in San Diego and also how dry, other than today, kind of humid, but the hotter weather tends to lend for a nice, lofty ball, if you will, especially for those dingers. And with less humidity, the ball's not quite as damp, so it flies a little bit farther. Of course, the wind has been a big factor, and we've been talking about the big buildings going up around Petco Park. So, you know, at times if you've got a nice draft from behind, that can give the ball a good lift, at least several feet when you think about the physics of it. But since it's been so dry, I think that's a big factor in the ball game, seeing that the ball doesn't have quite as much moisture and not quite as, you know, it's heavy. Every ounce counts. So being a little drier makes it a little bit lockier and fly a little bit farther. And, of course, April's already been the second, or was the second warmest month for us in San Diego. And our records go way back to 1874. We had an average of 65.8 degrees, and the relative humidity was only 63% on average. So that's, the humidity was down and the temperature was up. And really, the four-month average temperature for San Diego so far has been the warmest on record, with an average of 64.1. That goes back to January, but it's been so hot and dry. I think that's a big factor for us in these games.
No, Craig, one thing I've noticed is that we've only had one night game here this year where we've had the marine layer. And mm-hmm. in the past, you know, April and May is usually pretty socked in with the marine layer. And I believe that the ball, like you said, it's drier, but I think the absence of the marine layer is playing a role in the ball carrying here. And I was just wondering, I know the ball will travel during rain, but I've heard that a marine layer fog is denser than rain and will affect the flight of a baseball.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. I was at that game, and that marine layer adds that moisture to the atmosphere, so it gives it, you know, makes the atmosphere a little more damp, whereas rain would come through quickly, it would dry things out. You tend to have a little more wind with rain as well, so sometimes that affects it. But that marine layer makes a stagnant, moist layer of air right over the ballpark, especially being so close to the water there. So if you've got, you know, some moisture for that ball, it tends to drop a little quicker. With the absence of the marine layer, it's drier, and that's giving that ball some flight.
All right, Craig Herrera, meteorologist at 10 News, is with us. He is on Twitter, at 10 News Herrera. Craig, I'm going to sound like a guy who doesn't know what he's talking about because I don't. Is there like an El Nino-La Nina thing going on? Is that any part of the different sort of weather that we've had so far early in 2015?
Yeah, you know, we've been in, predictions have been that we're in a very weak El Nino pattern. However, we've got this area of high pressure that's been parked over most of the western half of the U.S. this year, and we saw it last year. And what that does is it acts as a roadblock right over the western half of the U.S. So the storms that are coming in off the Pacific, they hit that roadblock, and then they go up and over into the Pacific Northwest and then drop back down on the East Coast. And that's why they've got some polar vortex on the East Coast. Those storms are going up and over and dropping over there, and they get all the snow. For us, it's just a roadblock keeping a high pressure right over us, keeping us hot and dry.
Craig, I'm going to ask you a question that's always, and this is, goes back to Brian Giles, a former Padre right fielder, who on really damp nights at the ballpark always thought that the wind was blowing down in right field. And he said it's strange because he feels on his back this, like, just level of air that would be falling with the moisture. And I've always wondered, is that possible that the wind would be so weak that when it hit right field, it would just sort of fall with the marine layer?
Yeah, that's exactly what's happening. And, you know, with the situation of where the ballpark is, when we get the marine layer, we tend to have a southeast wind. So it comes up right up the backside and then over into the stand. So, I mean, that's a logical explanation for what's going on there.
Very interesting.
So the marine layer does keep the ball from flying.
It's not just science fiction. It's
right.
Science.
It's science.
Yeah.
That's excellent.
Yeah, you guys got it. It's just damp and keeps that ball down a little bit lower than it would be if it was dry. Think of a hot air balloon. It goes up quickly. It's dry, and when we've got that moisture in place, it just tends to bring it down. You've also got a little more in the way of gravity bringing some of the moisture in the ball down.
There you go. Craig Herrera on Twitter at 10 News Herrera, meteorologist at 10 News, shedding some actual scientific light on the things we talk about
all the time.
Right. Well, we have no idea what we're saying. He now gives us an idea of what's actually taking place. Craig, really, really appreciate it, man. And I know we can see you tonight on 10 News.
Absolutely. I want to spend some time with you, Bill and Jesse. I love it.
All right. Thanks a lot, Craig. Man. Really appreciate that. Say hi next time you're down at the ballpark. Craig Herrera from 10 News. Appreciate him lending some actual scientific knowledge to the thing.
The one thing that used to always interest me that, and Giles wasn't the only one, but the right fielders would say when they were standing out there, it felt like the wind, whatever little wind they had, was not blowing out or blowing right or blowing toward center. It was just sort of falling down upon them.
Yeah. All right. As long as we're talking weather, by the way.
Yes.
How about a Maui Jim weather report?
All right.
How do you feel about that?
Go.
All right. I feel great about it. Obviously, here in San Diego, it's beautiful. It's an absolutely perfect Sunday. So the Maui Jim weather report for San Diego is fine. But I'm going to give you the Maui Jim weather report for San Francisco because that's where the Padres will head after this afternoon's ballgame.
That's where you are heading.
Yes, I'll be with the team. Tomorrow, a high of 60. Very cloudy, very windy. One of those dreary San Francisco days tomorrow. Tuesday and Wednesday, a little warmer and a little sunnier. But we have no rain concerns, it looks like. For the 3 days in San Francisco as the Padres begin a 9-game, 10-day road trip to play the Giants, the Diamondbacks, and the Seattle Mariners. That's the Maui Jim weather report brought to you by Maui Jim Sunglasses. With lenses that eliminate glare and make colors pop, Maui Jim Sunglasses don't shield your view of the world. They bring it to life. Certainly don't want our view of downtown San Diego shielded here tonight. We'll take a break, come back. A lot of really good Twitter questions coming in. We will do those. And that'll be good. We might even try and warm up your seat and see what you have to say with some of these questions.
I love the questions we're getting.
Okay, well, you haven't seen them yet.
But I mean, just
generally speaking.
Generally speaking, the fan questions have been great.
Okay, well, I'm glad you're enjoying them. I have as well, and I agree as well. So we'll do that right when we come back. Padres Social Hour live from the AMR studio at Petco Park.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back to the show with Bill Center. I'm Jesse Agler. Thanks to Craig Herrera from News 10 for joining us. My takeaway from the weather conversation is that, yeah, it's absolutely had an impact on the way things are going. Is it the only factor? I'd say absolutely not. But I like the way he put it, Bill. Every ounce counts.
Right.
You're talking physics here.
Right.
This is real deal science. This isn't just a couple idiots sitting around talking baseball. You know, this is, hey, yes, different atmospheric conditions, temperatures, humidity, dew point, I don't know. They all do impact. Even if it's a little bit, there is part of the conversation to be had.
Well, right now there are almost twice as many homers over the first 14 home games as last year. And in fact, well, first of all, the Padres have got some hitters that can reach the seats. Secondly, there's also the pitching quite hasn't been as sharp as it was at the start of last year. There are more homers. So I think a lot of factors. It's just not any one thing.
100% agree with all of that. All right, let's get to some Twitter stuff here. And we're going to start it out with Devin. You know, this is really why the internet was invented, right? Padres SH is the hashtag. Hey, Devin. Now you say, hey, Devin.
Okay, hey, Devin.
There you go. All right, he was just saying hi.
He's just saying hi.
You know, that's it. He just wanted to say hi. That's a high-quality contribution.
Right. Here we go. Great question, Devin.
No, thank you. That was very nice of you to say hello, Devin.
Yes.
Junior is next, and Junior is ready to rally, man. He wants to take the brooms out and sweep the Rockies. That would be nice.
I want to win every home game. I mean, you know you're not going to win every game on the road. I love ball clubs that dominate their home field.
Yes.
That is the key. That is the key to success, is winning as many games as you can at home.
One of the keys to the success of a team, I would
right.
say. Not the only one.
Right. But if you win two-thirds or three-quarters of your games at home, chances are all you got to do is split on the road and you're in great shape.
No, that's it. And you know what? A manager or a coach in pretty much any sport will tell you the same thing.
Right.
Hold home court, home ice, home field, whatever it is.
That's not anything I just made up. If you can dominate.
It's science, like humidity and dew point.
If you can dominate the games at home, you're going to be very successful.
I think you've got a winning formula there, certainly. All right, East Village Times checks in on all the weather stuff. And he says, hey, bad location of pitches has led to more home runs, in my opinion. That put it on the list.
Right.
We should have a list back here on the screen of reasons there have been more home runs hit.
Right.
Better hitters. Bad, worse pitching
right.
Different weather, shorter fences, all of these things, everything, it's all of the above.
Actually, I think there was one home run to left field that, because the fence was in 2 feet, that, so, yeah, we can count up one home run to left field that was.
I think there might have been like even two, maybe arguably three.
Is that right?
Over the course of the home schedule so far.
Okay, I only saw
combining the two teams.
I only saw one that I really thought that wouldn't have been out.
I could be wrong.
No, I could be too.
Yeah, no, of course.
okay, I see how this this plays
no,
out.
No, but I haven't discussed that with anybody. That's just very off the top of my head. Anecdotally speaking, I think there have been maybe two or three. But even if it is one, that's on the list. So what are you putting at the top of the list for the reason there's been more home runs hit at Petco Park this year? Like, we're saying there's all these different reasons.
Right.
And we're going to have a bingo squares back here with all the different reasons. What's at the top of the list?
Well, please? I think the top of the list would be the Padres have some guys that can reach the fences where they didn't really have before. The second would be, I would go with what we just saw, that those Padres pitching has not been quite as sharp as it was last year. They've been giving up more home runs at home over the first two homestands.
I'm with you on the first one. I think that's the biggest difference
right.
by far. And we talked to Justin Upton about this for a few minutes yesterday as well. You know, I asked him, I was like, hey, do you notice it different this year? And he said that one night against the Dodgers, you know, that was different. He's played a lot of games here,
right.
you know, as a Diamondback and as a visiting player, and obviously all the games this season. And he says he thinks it's the quality of the guys. And I agree with him. I think that's the main difference. But I will agree there are other contributing factors,
right.
including.
Now, I even heard the theory that maybe, you know, in the 1990s at one moment, I think it was, a little 99, that they believed that the balls were wound tighter.
Yes, I remember that.
And I have heard the
balls
theory,
were juiced.
Right, and I've heard the theory again this year that the balls might be a little tighter, might be a little harder.
Really? Trying to bring up that scoring a little bit?
Right.
All the strikeouts, scoring
because
down. So you think there's some hijinks down in Costa Rica
right.
where they make the balls, that Rob Manfred is sitting over the guy and saying, hey, let's tighten it up.
There's a thought that there might be a conspiracy. Last year, pitching dominated so much that maybe Major League Baseball has quietly tightened up the baseballs a little bit, made them carry, because offense is up early.
Interesting. Can somebody Photoshop that Manfred, like, standing over the guy on a beach in Costa Rica?
Right.
Like, you know, that'd be a fun image. We got to get another scientist on the show.
Right.
Somebody to do a, we've got to get a Manfred ball, get a Seelig ball, and then have
slice
them
in half.
Yeah, do an X-ray.
Right.
A CAT scan maybe, a CT scan.
See what they are.
Yeah, see if there's a difference inside.
Okay.
You ever cut open a baseball? It's a fascinating thing.
I have.
Yeah.
I have. We used to play, when I was a kid, we used to play with the very rubber middle of baseball.
The little rubber ball in
right.
there.
Right, yeah.
It's like a super ball.
Right, we used to play baseball with that.
It was to improve your hand-eye coordination? It was harder to hit than the baseball?
No,
or?
We wanted to drive it farther out of
our backyard.
You wanted
to hit the ball like 800 feet.
Right.
Yeah.
You wanted to see if we could reach the houses up in the hill behind us.
All right, you're probably not the only one.
Right.
I was big on tennis ball. That was the big one for the backyard for me growing up.
Golf balls.
That can get dangerous.
Right.
That can get dangerous.
Right, but we would hit those too.
I had one idiot friend and I. We would turn the fan on in his room, like the highest speed, and we'd throw a tennis ball at it and then like take cover. That was that's how kids are so stupid. Like,
I never
that's
tried that
that's
one.
Something we did. That was we would kill hours in a day doing something like that.
Back in the 1800s, we didn't have those high speed fans.
No, that's right. You didn't have ceiling fans when you were growing up, so you couldn't have done. I just thought of that. Like the stupid things we do as little kids.
Huh. Oh yeah,
man. Oh man. All right, let's continue rolling here with the Twitter blooper. Jellyman, I believe, is up next. This is kind of an interesting one. It could perhaps fall into the category of semantics, but he wants to know if Yanhervis Solarte is considered an everyday player if he doesn't play the same position every day. I like that question.
And he's hit on something that I've always believed. There are guys, like last year, Alexi Amarista, early in the season, was moving around center field, second base, playing a lot of. I do view Solarte as an everyday player right now because he almost is. I mean, he's going to be playing all the games. At second base against right-handers and probably at first base against left-handers. That makes him an everyday player.
I agree. Yeah, I call him an everyday player, which means, by the way, the Padres have four everyday players hitting above 300 right now, which is nice as
right.
we're into the second month of the season. He's one of those guys.
Right.
And, yes, I consider Yanhervis Solarte an everyday player.
He is an everyday player.
It's an interesting question. Now,
right.
being called that, does that change anything? Of course not. The fact that he's in the lineup is what matters, and
right.
because he is in the lineup pretty much every day. Today at what? Third base today.
Right. But I think it makes him a little bit more unusual than a regular player because he comes in every day and he almost knows that he's going to be starting, mm-hmm. but he's not sure where.
That's got to be a challenge.
Right. It is a little bit of a different challenge.
It's a different thing altogether. All right. Let's get to a couple more quick Twitter ones before we get out of here. Nick is up next. He also wants to discuss Yonhervis Solarte. He said he's been playing great. It's time to just have him be the permanent second baseman.
No, because, and I'll explain, because Alonso, you want to give him days off against a tough left-hander. And that gives you the chance to get Jerko's good bat against left-handers at second. Solarte at first. So
it's everything we just discussed.
Right.
He's going to get a start at third base. He's going to get a start at second. He's going to start at first.
Right, depending on who's pitching. But he's not the permanent second baseman because Jerko against left-handers is still your best value there.
All right. Well, I agree. I think at this moment you just sort of continue with what's working. You know, a lot of people, you know, they want less of this at second base. They want less of that at shortstop. I don't know that there's been a game this year, in all honesty, where I've said, man, if they had a different shortstop, they would have won the game.
No.
Like, or, oh, they lost because of who was playing second. Like, that's not been – they haven't been issues. They've been covered up. I'm not saying they're perfect situations everywhere. But when the Padres have lost games, it's not been because of one of the things that everybody wants to talk about Emerista. Everybody wants to talk about Barmas. Everybody wants to talk about Jerko. And I understand why. I get it. But I don't remember one loss this year where, like, that would have been the difference in the game.
And I get those. I get emails all the time. We got to replace Amarista.
Oh, what's your email address? People can just email you?
Oh, yeah. I get emails.
Yeah?
Yeah, it showed up somewhere one time, and so now I get a lot of emails.
I understand that. Oh, they can get you on Twitter, too, at Padres Central.
And I will answer questions.
Is that the preferred method?
Yes.
Not your email address? Right. What about your home address if they wanted to send you a letter?
Yeah, all right. Well,
should we give that out?
I'm hidden in a corner.
But, yeah, you can get Bill at Padres Central on Twitter. Also, every Friday at noon, sometimes even a little earlier, fans can go to Padres.com/chat, and you do a Q&A.
We try to spend an hour to 90 minutes on there.
Okay. So they got a lot of ways to ask you a question. They don't have to show up at your door.
And this is great, too. This is a great questions on the social hour. It's fantastic.
You're right. And we've got more coming in. We'll get to those when we come back. Also want to talk a little bit more about the Padre bullpen. As your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres and Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. More questions and some bullpen talk when we come back. Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back to the AMR Studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to the show with Bill Center. I'm Jesse Agler. Fun day of Padres baseball coming up. If you're watching on Fox Sports San Diego, Padres Live, the pregame show is coming up next. Mike Pomerantz and friends. And then the game, final game of the homestand as the Padres try and sweep the Rockies. That would feel nice. Giants, by the way, who the Padres will face beginning tomorrow night at AT&T, are also going for a sweep today against the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, Orange County. And their game ended in a strange way yesterday, the Giants and the Angels. A base runner was hit on the base paths by a batted ball for an out.
Right.
For the last out of the inning, the first time that it happened in a major league game since 2010. And then like 5 hours later in Los Angeles, it happened again. How about that? It hadn't happened since 2010, and then it happened in a day game and a night game yesterday.
Same day.
Crazy.
Right.
Oh, that baseball.
I remember the game. I think that not in 2010, but the Padres were involved in one of those one time.
It does happen.
Right.
But I mean, weird. Weird, weird, weird. A base runner getting hit by a batted ball for the final out of the game hadn't happened since 2010, and then it happens not once but twice yesterday, both in California for that matter.
Years ago, the Padres had a right fielder. In fact, he was the right fielder between Winfield and Gwynn, one of the couple, who was diving back into first base or moving back into first base, and a line drive hit to the first baseman, and the ball hit him flush in the back. Ricocheted, and there was like this huge argument. Was he on the bag when he got hit by the ball, and therefore he'd be, you know.
No instant replay in the late
70s,
early
80s. He'd be safe, and if he wasn't on the ball, then if he wasn't on the base, he was out. And the umpires then made this is before even instant replay in the whatever. And the umpires.
There was no challenge system in 1980.
Right, there was not. And he got, it was a long, long argument that went back and forth.
That's interesting. It'd be a live ball if he were on the base, right?
Right. Yeah. Right. Because he's safe. He's not. Yeah. But if he but they ruled that he was not on the base. So.
All right. Well, we'll check the videotape and we'll get back. That's
Sixto
a great,
Lascano.
Sixto, one of the two opening day right fielders for the Padres. In between Winfield and Tony. I was talking to Kirk Kenny about this yesterday.
Right.
And literally, no, did you know that? Did you overhear our conversation?
No, I did not know that. Kirk and I had actually talked a couple days ago, and it was funny because when he mentioned Lascano, is that the first thing that popped in my mind when your incident came up was, yeah, Lascano got hit by that line drive while standing on the bag.
But, yeah, Kirk Kenny, the UT, yesterday I passed him in the hallway, and he was looking. They've got underneath the ballpark here all the starting lineups from all the opening days in Padres history, and he was like, how about that? The two starting right fielders in between Winfield and Gwynn on opening days for the Padres, and I was like, man, that's a great trivia question. That happened yesterday, and now you're bringing it up completely separate of that.
Right.
That's mind-blowing.
And the other one was a guy named...
I feel like you're not appreciating how crazy that is.
No, I am. I totally am.
Well, I appreciate
that you're appreciating. And Kirk Kenny is one of those guys who's great on trivia. And
yes.
Just things like see him. He sees things that few other people see.
Well, that's very good. All right, let's get back to Twitter right here. I know we got a bullpen question I want to get to. Before that, though, to kind of tie up the conversation about Yanhervis Solarte, Brandon says that he reminds... Solarte reminds him of Josh Harrison from the Pirates last year. He was basically a utility everyday guy that ended up in the All-Star. They love their Jay Hay. That's what they call him in Pittsburgh.
Right.
They love Jay Hay in Pittsburgh. That's a nice comparison. I like that.
That is a really good comparison. And yeah, you want
Tweet of the day, Brandon Wilson.
Do we have an award for that?
No, we don't. I just made that
just
up.
Just a drum roll or something?
No.
Okay.
No. Just a thing we say.
but he is. Solarte right now is filling that same thing that, wherever you put him, He's gonna do a job, and he's also gonna be a threat offensively.
They call Josh Harrison Jay Hay. What if we started calling Solarte like Why Saul?
Why Saul? Okay.
Nah, it doesn't work.
That doesn't work for
you? I'm bad at nicknames.
That almost sounds like a disinfectant.
That's true. That could get confusing. All right, Big Ahi is up next. And the big guy wants to know, this is a good question, because right now we're talking about it with Joaquin Benoit in the dead arm period, not available today. Mm-hmm. Disabled list, Buddy Black said today, is actually a possibility at this point for Benoit. So what exactly is a dead arm?
It's like fatigue. It's not like you've got something that's physically wrong in the arm. You're fatigued a little bit. It might be cranky. And all of a sudden, the ball's just not the movement's not the same as it normally is. The ball's not coming out with the same velocity. It's not coming out with the same movement. Benoit had the same problem last year for late in the season. And Buddy, I think that if he's not going to be available today, probably, and if this goes another day or so, they will probably put him on the disabled list retroactive back to last Monday. So he's only going to miss like another week to 10 days and bring somebody else up.
So what does that mean for the eighth inning, you think?
Right now it will be Dale Thayer or Kevin Quackenbush. And now I would imagine he's not going to pitch today. He's not available today because he went two innings yesterday. I would think Brandon Maurer might be trusted in that role too.
Yeah, he was really, really good yesterday, two perfect innings.
Very sharp.
In fact, you might say he was the firehouse sub of the game.
You might say that.
We actually did say that earlier on. All right, so the bullpen, it's funny because last year, and granted, there were things that changed over the course of 2014 in the bullpen. Houston Street was there, then he wasn't. Quackenbush's emergence as the season went on. But it seemed like so consistent. And maybe that's oversimplifying it in hindsight, but a lot of moving parts so far this year in the bullpen as everybody sort of tries to settle into their roles. And now you're dealing with this Benoit dead arm situation. Got to pay attention every single day.
Right.
I think, to the news coming out of the bullpen.
So if there's a new reliever coming up, who do you think it would be?
The next guy coming up from AAA would be who? Who do you think?
I think it would be Leonel Campos.
Okay, not Mateo. That was the one I kind of had thinking in my head.
That would be my other pick. But I think Campos might be the next guy up.
Okay. You look like you might know something. You got that look in your
eyes. Actually, I don't. But
you don't know anything? Is that what you're saying?
Well, you know me well enough to know that if I've got a clue or not. But I think that it might be Campos.
Okay.
Because, one, you've already seen a couple guys. Maybe they haven't impressed you as much as you had hoped they would. So let's bring another guy up and see if he fits. And I think it would be – next guy on my list is Campos. Mateo's not on the 40-man right now.
There you go. That matters. Good point by you. Good point. All right. Hey, while we're talking about – success from pitchers in the minor leagues. A guy in San Antonio yesterday did something very, very special. We'll talk about that when we come back. Bill will catch us up on something happening with the Missions, the AA San Antonio Missions. Are you looking for paradise? Who's not? Maui Waui Hawaiian presents delicious made-to-order fresh fruit smoothies as well as adult beverage smoothies. Visit the new Maui Waui locations inside Petco Park, at the Park at the Park, or on the Mercado, also located in Oceanside, Camp Pendleton, and Temecula. We'll take a break. Come back. Bill's got an interesting little minor league report, maybe another question or two as well. Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines.
You want some Padres talk?
We've got that.
Padres Social Hour returns now, presented by United Airlines.
Final game of the homestand, final game of the series for the Padres. They try and sweep the Colorado Rockies every Sunday. Home game, Petco Park. It's a military Sunday. And Kids Fest and that wiffle ball field. I don't believe that's a regulation game going on right now on the wiffle ball field out at the park at the park.
I notice at least maybe one too many outfielders.
that's a big shift they've got there.
Yeah, that's, like, yeah.
That's like, remember that Dodger game last year when they had the five-man infield?
Right, yeah, I mean, five-man in, yeah.
That's kind of what that looks like. All right, welcome back inside Petco Park, AMR Studio. That's Bill Center. I'm Jesse. Let's take a look at the starting lineup for this afternoon's game. It's presented by United Airlines. Proud to fly the Padres and fans to every away game. United, fly the friendly skies. Corey Spangenberg starting at second base. Yonder at first. Amarista at short. Solarte at third today. But there's something that stands out to me more than anything else, and that is Derek Norris is catching again
on a
today.
Sunday, right.
This guy,
right.
He doesn't mess around.
I mean, if you've got a catcher who is a horse like that and wants to keep going out there, and let's face it, that baseball – catchers get regular days off because that is the position that works more than any other position. You know that they asked him yesterday, you want a day off? And Derek Norris said no. I mean, that's or else he would not be in there.
Yeah, and a day off wouldn't be anything to look back it, down it upon.
Would, no,
I mean, it would make all the sense in the world.
It would make a lot of sense. It would be scheduled, but right now, I mean, he feels good. He wants to play.
During spring training this year, I think Buddy Black threw out the number 120
right.
For games.
I think he's on a pace, bigger pace, more games than that.
Craziness.
Right.
Man, tough customer.
Tough customer, good hitter, good backstop. I mean, this is – right now, if I had to say, okay, what guys look like all-stars, that Norris would be at the top of my list.
Top of your list. Wow.
In terms of – other all-star, I mean, other positions around the league, who's the best catcher?
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying. As compared to other
right,
guys.
Right.
I like that. I certainly choose him over Buster Posey. He doesn't even catch anymore.
Like, well, yeah, like, he plays a lot of first base.
Yeah, he's a little right. first baseman now. Hey, are we allowed to talk about Norris in the clubhouse, that thing we just heard? Yeah, so apparently his nameplate today in the clubhouse, you know, over your lockers,
right.
it says Norris, number three, whatever. Norrisaurus Rex.
I like it.
Apparently was what was up on his nameplate. And the understanding I have, and I will talk to him about this eventually, is that he just kind of wanted to go with that. So there you go, new nickname, and I didn't make it up, so it's not terrible.
Norrisaurus Rex.
Norrisaurus Rex. He is tough like a dinosaur.
He is.
I like that. It's fun to say.
It's a good one.
Norrisaurus Rex.
It's a good one.
That's a good hashtag, too. All right, San Diego County first responders receive special pricing on Padre tickets for all home games. Did you know that? Well, now, if you didn't, you do. 25% of all tickets all season long. More info and tickets at Padres.com/first responder. Padres.com/first responder. When we come back, no more teasing it. Bill will tell us about the great outing yesterday for Colin Ray, the AA pitcher at San Antonio. Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines continues and concludes right after this.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
Having fun on a Sunday with Bill Center. Hey, what about the name Colin Ray, AA pitcher, San Antonio Missions? Quite a game yesterday.
Eight shutout innings, one hit, one walk, 12 strikeouts. And the big change, mid-90s fastball, good secondary pitches. Before this year, his problem had been control. He had walked 166 in 381 innings professionally before this year. This year, three walks in 36 innings with 34 strikeouts.
That is a big, big difference.
Big change.
Interesting.
And
name to keep an eye on.
And he goes right to the top of the list of Padre prospects.
Wow. Great outing yesterday from Colin Ray. You love found talent,
right?
Like a guy you weren't quite sure what to think about. Now all of a sudden he seems to have put it together a little bit. We'll continue to track him all season. You can read Bill's minor league report every single morning on Padres.com. Hey, that's it. Mike Grace, Randy Jones, tomorrow. Enjoy your Sunday.
You have a good trip.
Thanks.